Now, I'm not a big fan of folk music, although I learned something about it. But the thing that we really learned is I don't like people who wear homemade leather belts. Do you or any of your friends wear homemade leather belts?
No, I do not wear homemade leather belts. No, I must admit. I haven't checked my friends' belts, all of them, but I don't think they do either.
All right. Well, you're lucky you've never had to live through someone who has a homemade leather belt. It's quite it's a different world, my friend, a different world. Now, talking about the Blue Jays, you know, and the exciting matchups last night, but is this, you know, more exciting, this team to watch, than the one we saw with Jose Bautista and their bat flip when they had so much success a couple years ago?
You know, there are a lot of parallels, obviously, right? I mean, this is a team that people have been looking at. They've underperformed their run differential all year. They had the big swing at the trade deadline. You know, this is the one that's in front of us right now, so it's hard not to like it better, I think. But obviously, people have a lot of feelings about those 2015-2016 teams, which were incredibly exciting, and I think was just a little more out of nowhere when they made those trades. Like it felt like, even though there were people sort of saying the Blue Jays should be sellers last week or just before the trade deadline came about, I think that the majority of people, you know, looked at the standings, looked at where they were, looked at the fact that they were coming home and had such momentum, and that was sort of not surprising that they took a big swing with a guy like Jose Berríos.
Do you like that trade that they made, considering they have him for, I believe, this year or next year still?
Yeah, it was a steep price, so that seemed to be what the whole industry had to say about it. But we did sort of start to hear, as you always do, like with the minute a prospect is out the door, you start seeing the warts on him a little bit more than maybe when he was in the organization. And there were a couple, you know, there's some things with Austin Martin and his power and his swing, whether that was, you know, there's questions still unanswered that are probably louder than they were a year ago. So that was sort of, that mitigated, I think, some of what people thought about the high price. And yeah, I mean, this guy is, he is not, maybe not quite an ace, but he's real close to that. And he's, like you say, he's here for a couple years. For the Blue Jays, particularly, just with the state of their rotation, and, you know, they have some young guys coming up. But Robbie Ray is going to be a free agent. Steven Matz is going to be a free agent. Like, to bring in another piece ready made for the front of the rotation, that was a huge deal for them, and I think it's great to have them, you know, pushing their core sort of together rather than, you know, waiting on prospects to develop. They're in that win now kind of mentality now.
Who is the next starting pitcher you think that will jump up and take a spot, whether it's this year or to start next season?
You know, I mean, a lot, it would be easy to say Nate Pearson, though he's obviously mm-hmm. a guy who a lot of fans and a lot of, you know, it's getting harder to dream on him staying healthy just because he hasn't been able to do it. I think the more, you know, more good things are coming from Alek Manoah. I think that, you know, he's got the stuff to get by right now, but there's still some development to do there in refining that changeup and in just mixing up his pitches better and making better pitches. And, you know, I think he could be, you know, he's looked like a real good mid-rotation starter, but I think there's more there potentially, and that's a really exciting thing for the Blue Jays too.
Talking Blue Jays baseball, Andrew Stoughton. You can check his items out at thebatflip.ca or on Twitter as well, as he's very vocal on there at Andrew Stoughton. When you sit back and look at this race that they're in, you know, there's some good teams in the American League East. Which team are they most likely to pass, both in the in their division, if they can, and in the wild card?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been calling the Red Sox frauds all year, so it's sort of come into fruition. But I think there's, you know, there's still a lot of downfall for them to have before that happens. But I mean, this is what the Jays need, and they, you know, they've got a couple months here or less now to really start reeling those teams in. But I think Boston is definitely vulnerable. You know, I liked what the Yankees did at the deadline, adding Joey Gallo, Anthony Rizzo. You know, maybe pitching would have been a better thing for them to add, but that's a relentless lineup. So I'm less hopeful about passing them if I'm the Blue Jays. I think that the Rays are just really good, unfortunately, so they're probably not going to get passed. But the Red Sox, I think, are catchable, and so too are the Oakland A's, who are, you know, a decent team. But I think you look at where the talent is on the Blue Jays, you look at what they've done in terms of that run differential, and you have to feel pretty good about where they are.
When you look at this season for the Blue Jays, which player has surprised you most in their production, whether with their arms or with their bat?
You know, that's a great question. There have been so many guys who've been really good. You know, like obviously Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had questions coming in, didn't have the best first couple of years of his career and became that guy. I don't know if that's really surprising. I think Marcus Semien also had a lot of questions and has been one of the better players in baseball, at least on the position side, and has come in and been a real rock for the team, I think, and really a great fit in that sense, and has handled, you know, switching to second base really, really well, and has just had a great season with the bat. And so that was something that definitely, you know, you looked at his track record coming into this season, didn't have a great year, especially at the start last year, maybe a bit of a slow starter, but had a tremendous year in 2019. And, you know, that's partly why he was only available on one-year contracts, because teams didn't know really what to make of him. So I think his success this year has been, I hesitate to say surprising, but a bit surprising.
What have you liked from a manager, Blue Jays manager Charlie Montoya, and what have you liked to see change from his managing style?
There's, he is. We could talk about this for hours. Like, he's a guy that they clearly really believe in. They love his positivity, his, you know, intangible qualities, maybe more than some of the stuff which reliever he chooses to bring in at which moment. And you know, sometimes that's, you know, and he doesn't have his full complement of relievers every night. But that's definitely been an area I would like to see worked on. I think he's kind of cut down on some of the bunting that we saw at times, which is not my favorite. The manufacturing runs things kind of tends to lead to worse outcomes than continue to swing for the fences. But the team itself really seemed to love to play for him, love his positivity, his even keel. And I think that they're very happy with what they have there. But, you know, any manager is going to be a bit of a lightning rod, and especially the bullpen this year being as bad as it was, and especially the Jays being sort of on the fringes of the race. There have been a lot of times where it felt like, you know, if he pulled a different lever that we were all yelling for him to pull, the Jays could be a little bit better off, in the record as they are.
Andrew Stoughton joins us. You can check out his columns at thebatflip.ca. You talk about the bullpen, and, you know, from a distance, it feels like he's just always one arm short. Is that fair, or the team is one arm short? Is that fair to suggest that about the Blue Jays bullpen?
I think, you know, it's gotten better. I think at the trade deadline, it's gotten better. And I think that, you know, adding Adam Simber and Trevor Richards, who've been really big for them over this last stretch, has been good. But, yeah, I think the bulk of the year, it definitely felt like, you know, and this kind of added to those problems that people had, you know, with the way that Charlie was using the bullpen, was that there just weren't enough guys down there for him to go to that were reliable. So, you know, you can't throw Jordan Romano in 100 games. You can't, you can't just work these guys to dust, especially if your aim is to be pitching deep into October. So there was definitely an amount of having to sort of finesse things through and get themselves through some real tough periods because of the way that the injuries sort of hit them so hard, especially, you know, after the first month of the season. But it's not a perfect bullpen by any means, but it is definitely a lot better and a lot more comfortable to watch the Jays, you know, go to a reliever now than it was a couple weeks ago.
You know, Vladdy, he seems like such a fun guy to be around. And, you know, what was it the other day? They were trying to tape him to the dugout because he'd played for, 10 years in a row and he needed a break. But, you know, he's definitely having a good year. But, you know, what is the ceiling for this guy when you look at the stats he's putting up this year already? Just a crazy number. Where do you think he can get to?
I mean, if he can just keep doing this, I think that everybody should be real happy about it. Like, this has been a magnificent year, and it's funny, they're playing the Angels, and so he's been a bit overshadowed by Shohei Ohtani, who's, you know, the best pitcher and home run hitter in the American League, which is really wild to think so when I think about it, and I don't know if people appreciate it as much as they should. But, you know, Vlad is having, like, a legendary Blue Jays season. Like, this is maybe the best offensive season in franchise history. I know he's, you know, in the last few weeks, it hasn't been quite as loud, maybe, as it was earlier in the year, but the fortunate thing is that he's had George Springer is now around, helping him to pick up, you know, where some of the production that's dropped off a touch from him. But, you know, I think that what we saw in the first half is, like, that's who he is. That's what everybody sort of thought he would be in the minors. And that, to me, is a great ceiling. He doesn't need to do any more than, you know, on pace for 50 home runs and, you know, being the best hitter in baseball, basically.
It's just crazy. And he looks like he loves every minute of it. I mean, I remember his dad playing for the Expos, and I kind of felt the same about his dad. I mean, he was my dad's favorite player, Vladdy Guerrero Sr., I guess. But they just love playing and competing. And you can tell even when they blow a lead, you can tell he's a little upset about it. He wants to win, not just have a good time and mash the ball all over.
Yeah, I think that's something that they've absolutely, you know, the Blue Jays, he was kind of a gift left over from the Alex Anthopoulos era for them, but that's definitely the kind of stuff that Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro have come in and have really seen as a place where they can get better than their competition. And it's funny, like in years of you know, stats versus scouting kind of arguments, you know, the pendulum has swung a bit towards those sort of intangible things because teams are so good with, you know, they know the numbers and they know the analytics and they can all see the same stuff and seem to feel that, you know, you can make up a lot of difference in having a guy like that who loves to play, who people will want to be around. And you're kind of just seeing it play out before your eyes with Vlad and with some of the other guys on this team too.
Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about tonight's game. We got the big boy, Alex Manoah, who it looks like he has a motorcycle chain around his neck in gold against Bundy. Tonight, you know, anything we should be watching for you is to preview this this game of two teams that are, you know, definitely fighting it out.
Yeah, I mean, the Jays are just, the momentum is there. And I think Manoah, you know, especially if people are more casual Jays fans, he's been a huge addition to them, sort of. You know, top draft pick a couple years ago, maybe arrived a little earlier than people thought, but has absolutely shown he can get big league hitters out in real fun ways. And he's an extremely fun one to start. And like you say, a large, large man.
Oh, and just another guy that looks like he's loving it out there. You know, from his first stop with his mom, you know, crying and cheering and laughing in the stands, and he's in there with that gold chain. Like, I love the way he looks. Like, he's just a big bear out there throwing rocks at the pond.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is, it's fun to watch. It's been a weird year, but here they are with a real chance and a real, you know, a real moment, I think, where people are starting to notice how good things can get from here.
Andrew, thanks a lot for this, buddy. Check out at bathflip.ca and on Twitter at Andrew Stoughton. Have yourself a great day, and I'm sure we'll be talking again as the Blue Jays creep closer to, if not a wild card spot, a divisional lead.
Thanks so much for having me, man. Anytime.